You'll get your Bibles this morning and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The greatest preacher, Charles Spurgeon, was admonishing a class of student preachers on the importance of making their facial expressions harmonize with their speech when they delivered sermons to their people. When you speak of heaven, he said, let your face light up, be enlightened with a heavenly gleam. Let your eyes shine with reflected glory. And when you speak of hell, well, then your everyday face will do. Many of us go from day to day with an expression of gloom on our faces. Many Christians do not have a smile on their face. It is my contention that many believers have that expression because they do not take the time to look out at another face, the face of Jesus Christ. We will be continuing in our sermon series this week, Observing Jesus. And this week, we will be talking about the face of Jesus. Last week, we talked about the flesh of Jesus and learned that Jesus came, born of a virgin, into this world, and he was God in human flesh. This week, we want to learn about the face of Jesus. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, the Bible says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Father, for your words you've given us this morning, Lord, to bring. We pray, Father, that there be a blessing to those that are here that hear it. And Father, we praise you. We glorify you. We ask for your guidance, your leadership, and Lord, your spirit to lead us today. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. In this chapter, we see something very important. In verse 6, the Bible says, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And we don't often take the time to meditate on the face of Jesus. We don't have any pictures, drawings, or even word descriptions of the physical appearance of Jesus. Yet imaginations of artists have struggled to portray his face for centuries. This is the face of a human person, Jesus of Nazareth, the carpenter's son. This is the face the apostle tells us in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, but we all, with open face beholding, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changing into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now this is the face upon which Jesus fell as he went a stone's throw from his disciples and prayed, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not I will, but as thou wilt. This is the face that Jesus, inquisitors, covered, spat into, struck, and slapped, saying, prophesy to us, Christ, who is it that struck you? This being the face of Jesus Christ, and all this and more, have happening to him throughout his ministry, what can we say today of the power of his appearance? Well, first of all, I want you to understand the face of Jesus Christ is a real face and not a mask. Our word personality comes from the Latin word persona, meaning mask. It especially refers to the kind of mask worn by actors in Greek and Roman dramas. Jesus' face was not the mask of an actor. It was not the semblance of an appearance of a face. It was the face made of human flesh that bled when thorns were pushed into his forehead. Unbelievers of Jesus' day and our own world would have us to believe that simply appeared as a human. Jesus Christ was not, they believe, came in human flesh. He was not believed to have a real incarnation. He only seemed to be born of the Virgin Mother. He only acted as if he were human flesh, partaking of material nature. But as we learned last week in John 1, verse 14, the Bible says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of His only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Or consider this passage in 1 John chapter 4, verse 2, "Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God." If you and I walk in the way of Jesus Christ, we are not putting on an act, playing a part called Christian. We do not do the work of Christ as a performance. No, my friend, we do not, as Jesus said of the hypocrites in Matthew 6, verse 16, "Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." Rather, as Christians, as our text teaches us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, "But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." Yes, my friend, the face of Jesus Christ was a real face. It was for real. And that openness demands that we reject all phonies, all play acting, grandstanding, and striking poses of pretense. May it be said of you and I always, that person, Jesus Christ, is what he or she appears to be, a true follower of Jesus Christ. Let it be said of all of us that we serve a risen Savior. Let it be said of all of us that we serve a God that is real. Let it be said of us that Jesus Christ came in human flesh and He is the one that we honor. He is the one that we love. Secondly, I want you to see the face of Jesus Christ is a compassionate face. Jesus focuses the gaze of His compassion on you and me as individuals. You will remember Jesus' encounter with the rich young ruler we talked about last week. In the Gospel of Mark, Jesus recited several of the commandments to this young man in response to his question about how could he receive eternal life. The young man told Jesus, "Teacher, all of these things I have done since my youth. I have done everything you've mentioned and your word. As a child, I kept every one of these." Now, Jesus had the option of doing what later some had been doing to Timothy, when Paul told him not to let anyone look down upon him because of his youth. Jesus could have looked down upon this young man, but he didn't. The Bible says in Mark chapter 10, verse 21, "Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven, and come and take up thy cross and follow me." Listen, my friend, Jesus loved him with no self-serving needs of his own to be met. He loved him in terms of his own person. He loved him being made in the image of God. Jesus loved him as one whom he would die for later in his life. Jesus loved this man. He loved him more than he loved his own life. Much more than passing fancy. Much more than a need for approval. Jesus loved him as God loves people. Jesus loves him with a face of compassion. Such acceptance and love is awe-inspiring. For some, it is terrifying. And as Emily Dixon says, they erect defense against love. This young man did this. He went away sorrowful because he could not respond with a whole heart. Listen, the rich man said, "I cannot give up what I have to serve you." Yet Jesus, in his love and in his look of compassion, followed him. The face of Jesus is a compassionate face. Many individuals come under the focus of a gaze of compassion. Once Jesus was moved with compassion for a leper, he stretched out his hand, touched the untouchable, and healed him. Luke chapter 7 tells us that Jesus saw a bereaved widow of Nain whose only son had died. He had compassion on her as well. Listen, my friend, he saw her as a doubly bereaved person whose husband had already died, and now her only son had just died and was carried out the town gate. Listen very carefully. Jesus had compassion on her and brought her son back to life. You and I have the option as to how we look at other people, both men and women. We have to look at them with that love that Jesus looked. We look at them with that compassion. We can look upon them to see what they can do for us, or we can look upon them as a means to our goals, as tools to be used in the satisfaction of our desires. Or we can look upon them as obstacles in the way of our achieving our own ambitions. Or we can simply look upon them as a non-persons, non-entities, as not even being there. Our faces reflect those motives and these valuing of people. But our finest option for looking upon people in this world is with compassion. Matthew chapter 9 verse 36 says this: "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd." The way you look at people, confronting them with compassion in the face of Jesus Christ, we transform them into relationship with them. When you look at people with compassion, when you show them compassion, when you show people love, when you show them you care about them, you transform them into a believer of Jesus Christ. Your face takes on the likeness of the compassion face of Jesus Christ. You take into yourself the treasure of the image of God within them. You move from self-serving to redemptive caring. You move from littleness of self-defense to emphatic participation in other people's lives. The way you look at people makes a difference. The way you see people makes a difference. The way you show yourself before people makes a difference. Thirdly, I want you to see the face of Jesus Christ is a silent face. The silence of eternity collects itself in the face of Jesus Christ. And in this awesome silence, our own hearts are both comforted and confronted. The silence of Jesus' face became a defining quietness in the last few days of his life. He told Peter that before the cock would crow, he would deny him three times. Luke tells us that Peter denied him a third time that he knew Jesus. While he was yet speaking, the cock began to crow. Then Luke tells us in Luke chapter 2, verse 61 and 62, "And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he said unto him, before the cock crew, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly." Yes, my friend, Peter went out and wept bitterly. The silence of Jesus' face brought the memory of the prophecy back to Peter that he had spoken to him. Before Peter ever denied Christ three times, Jesus told him, "You will deny me three times. Even though you made the statement you'd go all the way to death with me, even though you've said you would die for me," Jesus said, "No, you will deny me three times in front of the people." Sure enough, Jesus' prophecy came true. Peter denied him. And when he denied him the third time, the cock began to crow, and Jesus looked at him. Did not say a word. Did not speak a word. Silently looked at him. And Peter was reminded of what Christ had told him. And he began to weep. He began to confess his sin. He began to show that he needed help. There were other silent looks at Jesus that compelled us to look into his face. After Jesus was arrested, we learned that Herod was pleased to see Jesus. He had hoped to see Jesus perform a miracle. Luke chapter 23, verse 9 records this: "Then he questioned with him in many words, but he answered him nothing." In the Gospels, we read that the high priest asked Jesus, "Are you not going to answer? What is this testimony that these men are bringing against you?" And then we read this: Jesus remained silent and gave no answer. Jesus' capacity for silence in the presence of such accusations is both a rebuke and an admonition to you and I. We always rush to our own defense. We insist on having the last word. When presented with the hurting necessities of those we seek our companionship in their suffering, we are quick to give a quick answer. We caught up in the controversies. We chatter away at the latest news from the front. But perhaps what we should do more often than not is to offer up to others the silent, compassionate, and genuinely human face of Jesus Christ. Listen, when we show people love, when we show them the face of Jesus, when we show them that light that shines through our life to those that are lost, we can win them to the Lord. Listen, my friend, the one who is tempted as we are without sin and was able to sympathize with our weakness. Sometimes our silent face is the face that speaks of strength and compassion and a willingness to offer a hand more than any other face we can wear. Fourthly, and very quickly, the face of Jesus Christ is an intentional face. Jesus lived deliberately, purposely, and intentionally. He was guided by an overpowering call that shaped his direction daily. Luke chapter 9, verse 51 tells us this. And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Jesus' face was as Isaiah had said of his own in Isaiah chapter 50, verse 7. For the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. Listen, my friend, for Isaiah, Jesus, to set his face meant that he was fully persuaded that the direction he was moving was the destiny God had planned for him. As Jesus went to the cross, he went silently. As Jesus bore the pain and the suffering that he would go through as he went to Golgotha, he kept silent. As he was beaten, he kept silent. As the crown of thorns was placed on his head, he kept silent. He had an intentional face. He knew what he had to do. He knew he had to go to the cross. He knew he had to die for our sins, but he kept silent. He never spoke a word. As he went to the cross, he never said anything. As he was beaten, as he was spat upon, as he was treated worse than any human being ever had been, he never spoke a word. This was our Savior that did this. His mind was made up. He had passed the Rubicon to himself. He had come to the point of no return. There was no turning back. From that point forward, people have had trouble seeing the face of Jesus Christ because he is always in front of us as the pioneering trailblazer of our faith. He is the point man on our patrol in life and the next. We can only see the back of his head and not his face because the face is always set in the direction of the cross. The decision each of us is faced with concerns what we will do with the intentional face of Jesus Christ. Will we look at it? Will we take it in our own soul and follow him to the cross? Or is it this point that we point, that we shrink back and we retreat from serving him? You see, when we look into Jesus' intentional face, it has a way of pushing us on the fence or forcing us to a point of decision. And the decision that Jesus desires for each of us to make is the decision Paul himself made that we read in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, where he says this, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Listen, Paul realized who he was. Paul realized that he once upon a time was a person that was against Christianity. Paul realized that once upon a time he was a man that was about destroying the Christian movement. Paul realized that he was a man that was unworthy to be a servant of Jesus Christ. But notice what he says. He says, I am crucified with Christ. He said, I would die for Christ. I would give my life for Christ. I would do anything I could to serve him. Paul said, I am a man that is bound to Christ through his death. But he says, nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. He realized that he could do nothing without Christ. He realized that the face of Christ was shining upon him. That this intentional face that looked upon him. That this intentional face that showed him the way. He says, I can do nothing without him. I have to look for him. He is the one that leads me. He is the one that guides me because he lives in me. And he says, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who died for me, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul could say with all honesty, I've put on Jesus' intentional faith and followed him to the cross. In conclusion, today we've been able to look into the face of Jesus Christ through Scripture. We have no pictures or description of his face, but we have something better, a look beyond his flesh into his soul. And looking there, we find that Jesus' face is real. It is compassionate. It is silent and it is intentional. Now we must decide if our face will reflect his face. How about you? How about what you will do as you go out into the world? Will you let Jesus' face show through you to a lost and dying world? If you're here and you're lost this morning, Christ invites you to come to him. Seek his face so that you can inherit eternal life. If you're a Christian and Christ's face is not clear to you this morning, maybe sin is blocking it, will you come to the altar, seek his forgiveness so you can clearly see his face once again? Let me tell you, my friend, Jesus' face is real. Jesus' face is silent. Jesus' face is intentional. What he wants from you and I is to see his face, seek his face, look at his face, admire his face, and show that face to the world that we live in. We as God's children need to understand that it is more than just seeing Jesus, it is about sharing Jesus. Too many Christians today that can see Jesus' face, that have his face in their mind, never share the love of Christ. We need to be sharing that love, telling people about Jesus, telling people about the love he shared with us, telling people about how he changed our life, telling people about how he gave us eternal life. That is what we need to do. Share that face of Jesus. Even though the face of Jesus was silent in his day, even though he never spoke when he went to the cross, we as his children are expected to shout it to the world. Tell people about Jesus. Tell people about his love. Teach people about Jesus. Show people the love he has for you and I. Show them how much he cares for them and show how much he wants to give them eternal life. That's what our mission is. That's what our goal should be, is to let the face of Jesus shine in a dark, dark, sin-filled world. Let's pray. Father, we bless you this morning. We praise you. We glorify you. For you alone are worthy. You alone have given us this message this morning to share about the face of Jesus. That it is an intentional face. It is not a face that is a mask. It has been shown clearly to the world through your word. And Father, help us, Lord, as a church, to show the face of Jesus through our lives that we may reach this world for Christ. That we may reach those that are lost. That when they may see Jesus' face in us this morning. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. What's your number, brother?